Chapter 10. Jack 2. Jack Sun-Sun Volano, truthless of Shinovar, knelt in the darkness and laid a quiet hand on the granite, mouthing the 14 curses against a people who forced him to desecrate holy stone. Yet there was no other way. It shamed him, but he barely even noticed any more. When he had first come to the lands of the East, he had tried to find ways to keep from walking on the stone. He would stand on rugs and ride in hand-drawn carriages. Eventually, he had been forced to admit his hypocrisy. Beneath the rug was stone, beneath that stone more stone. Wherever he walked, whether it be inside or outdoors, his feet desecrated the rock. There was no regular soil in this blighted land. Jack stood. The night was cool, yet still arid. He longed for the enfolding humidity of his homeland. That was not to be, however. He was truthless. His lot was to walk the stones, knowing every step brought him damnation. And so it would be. He scuttled along the palace wall in the darkness. Though heathens, the Eastern people did have some impressive attributes. Their skill with textiles and dyes far outmatched that of his own people. The sea-silk bodycloth he wore was stronger, yet lighter and more flexible than any wool outfit from Shinovar. It was colored the deepest of blacks, its natural sheen roughed to prevent it from glistening in the starlight. Were he still a member of the Hollententon, the clothing would have been the envy of the entire clan. He paused beside a stone post on the wall, crouching down, eyeing palace guards and their lanterns. The heathens liked to build outward rather than upward. In Shinovar, the palace of one so wealthy would have been a 10-set stories in height, constructed to show the power of the clan leader. However, stone was not meant to be used for building homes. It resisted cutting and smoothing, wishing to remain in its natural form. It was too heavy for much stacking. The difficulty didn't permit the construction of tall buildings. Massive support pillars were needed to achieve even a single story. The Vaden Palace was of typical design. It spread out across a shallow stone plateau at the center of Vaden City. Built of 5 wings, it was a labyrinth of hallways and chambers. During the party he had attended earlier, Jack had spent as much time as possible scouting his pathways. Complex though the palace was, it betrayed one major flaw, consistent with most of its kind in the East. Important men liked windows. Jack climbed over the side of the wall, slinking down its side, using the 2 sides of a corner to keep himself from falling too fast. He crouched at its base, then scuttled across the courtyard. A quick grapple with handholds, and he was up once again, this time on the roof of the palace. The stone was unnaturally flat beneath his unshod feet, worked and scarred by the hands of men. He stole across the top of the building, aiming toward the back wall. The heathens were fools. Their nobles always slept in the same room, and didn't even try to disguise which room that was. Look for the largest, best-protected room in the building, and one would find the lord of the household. It was fortunate that the heathen Eastern assassins were as incompetent as their lords, otherwise the land would have been depopulated of noblemen long before. 2 guards stood on the outside balcony, their lantern light blinding them to the darkness. Even if they had been without light, they probably wouldn't have thought to look upward, even though that was the most obvious path to the king's chambers. Jack shook his head. 16 years, and he had yet to find a true challenge in these lands. He wondered if the heathens even realized how fortunate they were. If they'd been more civilized, the clans would have attacked them long ago. As it was, however, truth forbade the attacking of children, women, and non-warriors. By common Shin consent, all Easterners fell into the first category. That prohibition, unfortunately, no longer applied to Jack. He was truthless. The first guard died with Jack's stiletto in his back. The second guard turned with a look of shock, opening his mouth to scream as his companion slumped to the ground. Jack leaped forward, grabbing the soldier by the neck, cutting off his cry of surprise. Jack whipped out his choke cloth, spinning behind the man and wrapping the cloth around his neck. The guard got in a single claw at Jack's arm before a twist of the choke cloth sent him to join his companion. Jack rested the body quietly against the stone landing. He felt slightly less guilty about killing them than he did others. The soldiers carried swords. They were noblemen of the Vaidenel House, self-professed warriors. According to truth, any man who wished to be a warrior could die like one, should he make that choice. The door was wooden, created undoubtedly through heathen misuse of sacred arts, for there were no trees in the east to provide wood. The keys were on one of the guards' belt. Jack used them in the lock, opened the door, and crept inside. It was darker within than without. Jack moved through the room, quickly making out the black blot of the bed against the far wall. There, only for a moment, did he give himself pause. During his years in exile, he had been forced to kill non-warriors of all types, women, children, craftsmen, and servants. Yet he had never performed this one heresy, the murder of one whose mind had been taken by the Shannala Qadda. The idiot king was more than just a child. He was a child with no opportunity, an invalid. The bitter taste in Jack's mouth was nothing new. "This is your punishment," he thought, forcing himself forward. "This is your shame. You have no truth remaining." He stopped before the bed to perform the deed, only to find it empty. Immediately his senses became alert. Instincts trained through hours of practice beneath his father's tutelage took control of Jack. He spun, rolling across the ground to avoid attack, and scrambled for the door. As he reached it, a voice whispered in the darkness,
"If you leave, you will just have to return to try again."
Jack froze, crouching beside the wall, seeking the concealment of darkness and searching for the one who had spoken. The voice had been familiar, the words misformed and dull. On the other side of the room, a light flashed, the hood being removed from a lantern. The soft glow revealed the idiot king seated at a table. He wore a loose sencoat of dark materials and a pair of Easterner pants, very wide at the cuff and baggy through the legs.
"You have come to kill me," King Avan said. "It is curious that you would run so easily. What of the precise efficiency I have heard regarding Shin assassins?"
A trap? It was a strange one, then. No guards, no bows, just a simpleton and a table. Jack rose, still on guard, regarding the king carefully. Witless he may appear, and slow of speech he may sound, but his words were not those of an idiot.
"What manner of men are you?" Jack asked.
"You will have to move closer to the light," the king said. "Otherwise I won't be able to see your words."
Jack frowned, suspicious. Avan sat patiently. "See my words?" Jack stepped forward into the light. Like a warrior of his people, he wore no covering on his face.
"You're deaf," he said. "Not an idiot."
The king's smile was subtle, thin-lipped, barely expressive.
"To most, you'll find that the two are the same."
Jack reached down, sliding his stiletto from its sheath. He would play the king's game no longer. Idiot or genius, deaf or mute, he had been ordered to kill this man. He was truthless, a tool, like his knife. He would do as commanded.
"Ah, the infamous Shin Senth of Honor," Avan said. "What do you call it? Salakep?"
"That is not a word you may use," Jack hissed.
Dashing forward, his weapon reflected the lantern light. Avan seemed amused as he reached over and pushed the lantern to the side, revealing an object sitting hidden behind it, a decapitated head. Jack stumbled to a halt, eyes wide. The head was that of the Vaden nobleman, Randoch, House Devar, the very man who had held Jack's bondstone, the man who had sent Jack to kill the king. Avan rested his hand nonchalantly on the table, unfazed by the grisly object at his side. Randoch was dead. Jack's bondstone. If no one had it, then he was... Avan reached out and dropped a small object onto the table. A simple chunk of rock, not smoothed, worked, or etched. Blue turquoise, one of the most sacred of stones. This chunk was natural, as it had fallen. Its cracks and faces were deeply familiar to Jack.
"Master," he said, falling to a regretful knee.
"Indeed," Avan replied.
"Master," Jack said, looking up, "I ask you, return my bondstone to me. Declare my penance finished and allow me to return to my clan."
"I think not," the idiot king said. "At the very least, I believe you owe me 2 guards.
Jack bowed his head again.
"What are your orders?"
"Head up, Athassin," Avan reminded him. "I must see your lips."
Jack raised his head.
"You will travel to the south, to Wind Hollow. Seek out the palace of Talshek Devar, and kill his wife and children."
Talshek Devar, head of House Devar, one of the 3 high families that ruled Yarkabed.
"He knew nothing of the attempt on your life," Jack said.
"This is not about revenge, assassin," Avan said, dark eyes reflecting the lantern light. "I have another purpose. Kill the Devar family, but leave Talshek himself alive. Then return to me here."
Jack closed his eyes. Another slaughter. He had been so close. 4 masters now, and the Shanala Kada had not seen fit to release him from his penance. Perhaps they never would. He rose, bowing to the idiot king, then left the room on silent feet.